Well, hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us. It is so good to be with you today. I hope that you are having a great day where you are at whatever point in time that you're watching this. I hope that the weather is good when you're watching this. I hope that the circumstances of your life are just wonderful and you're on top of the world and you're praising and thanking the Lord. I know as I film this afternoon, it's cloudy. It's about to rain, it looks like. I know that's in the forecast. It's a little cool to be outside. But nevertheless, I'm so thankful that we get to come together and that we get to meet with our Lord, that we get to hear from Him. I look forward to these times. They help me in my week. They help me in my relationship with the Lord to grow and walk with Him. And I pray that they do you as well. And I'm so thankful for all that Jonathan and Nikki do to make these times possible. But obviously more than anyone, I thank the Lord Himself because He has made us. He has saved us through His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful the fact that He wants us in a relationship with Him. He wants us to know Him. And He's given us His Word. And He's given us times and means like these for us to come together to hear from Him. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for this day. And Lord God, for all that You have given to us. And Father, for bringing us here now. Lord, we want to hear from You. Lord, we need to hear from You. Lord, You alone are our strength. Lord, You alone, O God, are the one who can guide us and carry us, Lord. Father, we look to You. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace and Your faithfulness, Your trustworthiness. And O God, we look to You today. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I do hope that you're having a wonderful day, and I hope that, as I said a moment ago, that you're literally on top of the world in every single part of your life, your physical health, your emotional condition, your spiritual state, your walk, your relationship with the Lord, your finances, all of your relationships. I hope that you're having a wonderful time in your life. But I also know there's a very real possibility that you're not. In fact, it may be that you're facing a problem today, or quite frankly, problems today, more than one. In fact, you might even be in a crisis at home or at work, in family, or in other friendships or in other relationships. You may be facing some type of a major problem or crisis today. How do we pray in such times? How do we face those? Now, obviously, as we think about that, how we pray in those times ought to be how we pray all the times, but it becomes more of a focus in a crisis or a problem situation. But this is exactly what we see from David in Psalm 61, obviously facing a major problem, a major need, needing God to work, to move, to carry him, to guide him, to lift him up. And as we look at this psalm, we see how you and I ought to pray in a time of hardship, in a time of problem and problems, in a time of crisis. Think about what David was inspired to write, and the psalm is only 8 verses long, but think of what the Holy Spirit inspired him to write. Hear my cry, O God, give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you've heard my vows, O God. You've given me the inheritance of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life. His years will be as many generations. He will abide before God forever. Appoint loving kindness and truth that they may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may pay my vows day by day. As we look at this psalm, and again, David's obviously going through a very difficult time here, but as we look at how he prayed in that situation, we see how we ought to pray, to be sure all the time, but especially when we're facing a crisis, a major problem, or multiple problems. As we look at this, we see some important elements of David's prayer. The first thing that we see is the heart of prayer. You know, usually when we talk about prayer or we make a study of prayer, We usually do so in terms of list of the various elements of prayer or the various types of prayer. And those studies are good and those lists are helpful, and no doubt somewhere, you know, you heard of one. There's two or three that are very common as far as the various elements of prayer. And they're very good. They're very helpful, not taking away from them in any way. But one thing that's often overlooked in that discussion, one thing that's often overlooked in that, in those lessons and those studies, is in fact the heart of prayer. That is the heart that's honestly seeking the Lord. You think about what we see in verse 1 through the very first part of verse 2 again. Hear my cry, O God, give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. David wants God. David needs God. And David's heart is honestly seeking God and calling out to God. David's heart is involved in this prayer. Again, the lists are good and helpful, but for a heart, but for a prayer that is really going to be effective, it's truly got to come from the heart. A heart that's seeking God, a heart that's wanting God, a heart that recognizes its great need for God. The heart of prayer. We can mindlessly go through a list. We can half-heartedly go through various elements. But when we are in a crisis, and it ought to be true all the time, when we're facing a problem or a crisis, we need to have true heartfelt prayer, certainly going through those elements. You know, those are biblical, not taken away from them. But our heart ought to be fully engaged in seeking God. We need the heart of prayer. But notice, not only do we need the heart of prayer, but as we look at this prayer of David, we also have to be very conscious of the object of prayer. Think of the latter part of verse 2. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You think about David's object of his prayer, the object of David's prayer. It was God. You might think, well, that's obvious. But is it? Is God truly the object of our prayer? Or could it be that many times our prayer is really just closing our eyes and talking to ourselves about what we wish or what we want, rather than honestly seeking God? And it's interesting, not only is God, David obviously seeking God, but it's obvious his view of God, his concept of him. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David recognizes God in his greatness and his glory and his power. And David, again, from the heart, is seeking that God. It is that God who is the object of David's prayer. And this might sound painfully obvious, but you think of how important it is for us to truly not just talk to ourselves, but seek God and seek the God as he's revealed himself in the scriptures. You know, many, many years ago, I had the opportunity to hear Major Ian Thomas speak, and he was quite old at that point. But the major made a comment in one of his messages that I got to hear that is so relevant. He made the observation, he said, you know, so often as believers, we get focused and we talk about the quantity of our faith, the amount of our faith. And he made the observation, he said, you know, the amount of faith is not nearly as important as the object of faith. You know, Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you shall move mountains. The issue is not the amount, it's not the quantity, it's not the volume of faith we possess. It is the one to whom that faith is directed. It's not the volume, it's the object. When we truly, again, that view of God, seeing him in his greatness, when we see God as this living, sovereign, almighty God, quite frankly, it's almost irrelevant what the amount of our faith is, because it'll automatically grow. We focus on how much faith we have, when if we focused on the object of our faith, that amount would grow and it really wouldn't be an issue, because again, we would be seeking him. David, as he prays, it's from the heart and it is to God. He's not just talking to himself. He is honestly seeking God, and he sees God as the great, living, sovereign, wonderful God that he is. When you and I pray, and it should be true all the time, but certainly in a crisis, We need the heart of prayer that seeks God, and that He truly needs to be the object of our prayer. But then notice what else we see. We also see the closeness of prayer. Look at verses 3 and 4. For you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Now, obviously, David is wanting protection, to be sure. But he's also wanting the protection in the terms of being close to God. We need to always remember that salvation is, in fact, a relationship. A relationship that God has made possible when by Him sending His Son to live, die, and rise again for our sins, and by the Spirit bringing us to faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then when we trust Christ, God, through His Spirit, comes to live within us, and we have an ongoing relationship with Him. And prayer, it by definition, is us communicating with God, communing with God, experiencing that closeness, and the result of it ought to be not only the closeness in the time of prayer, but an increase in closeness going forward. Our times of prayer need to be times of meeting with God, drawing near to Him, heart to heart. God wants us to know Him. God wants us to want Him, not just His answers. And how often do we rush to prayer? And it's understandable. And certainly our Father invites us to come with every burden, every worry, every concern. But through that, He wants us to know Him. He wants us to grow in Him. And in fact, many times, God engineers circumstances and situations for the sole purpose of bringing us closer to Him. And in prayer is where we experience that closeness. Prayer is drawing near to God. Again, you think about what the psalmist wrote over in Psalm 27, and in verse 8, and again, it was another psalm of David. But you think of what it says. When you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, O Lord, I shall seek." For prayer to really be effective, for you and I to pray in a time of crisis, not to be true all the time, yes, it needs to be from the heart directed at God for the purpose of drawing close and communing with Him, hearing from Him, speaking to Him, meeting with Him. And that closeness is not just the quote, the key to prayer. It's in many ways the purpose of prayer. And again, it's why God many times has designed the circumstances like He has for us to draw near. But then notice as well, number 4, we also need what I'm going to call the direction of prayer. That is how God wants to lead us and direct us from here. God desires for us to learn and to grow and to mature and to strengthen. And prayer is an important component of that. You think about what we see in verse 5. For you have heard my vows, O God. You've given me the inheritance of those who fear your name. David's talking about what God is leading him to do and what God has revealed that he is going to do. God is in fact revealing his plan, his purpose unto David. You know, so often someone will make the comment that prayer changes things, and that's not technically true. It's God who changes things as a result of prayer, but just take it at face value for a moment that prayer changes things. And while, again, taking it at face value, it's true, but we have to always remember that one of the key things that God wants to change through prayer is not just the circumstances. It's, in fact, us. You think about what we see over in Romans chapter 8 and verses 28 and 29, where it says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love God, to those called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He would be the firstborn among many brethren." You think about that. As we meet with God in prayer, yes, He cares about our every worry, our every burden, our every concern, and God's going to work and move in that situation. And the result of that is that He changes things. But as He does so, He also works upon us. And He molds us and shapes us. Again, you think about what David's saying. You've heard my vows, O God, and you've given me the inheritance of those who fear your name. In other words, David is discerning God's plan and purpose for his life and in his descendants coming after him. The direction of prayers. We meet with God, he directs us what to do. And so, yes, we need to have that heart that seeks God. We, in fact, do need to draw near to him. And in that nearness, allow God to lead us. But then notice what else we see as we look at this psalm. Not only do we see that David experiences there the direction of prayer, but notice as well, he also talks about number five, the trust in prayer. Look at verses 6 and 7. You will prolong the king's life. His years will be as many generations. He will abide before God forever, appoint loving kindness and truth that they may preserve him. David's basing his prayer upon the promises that God has in fact given to him. David was simply taking God at his word. David depended upon God being who he said he was and doing what he said he would do. His trust. As you and I pray, it needs to be based upon the solid trust of that great God we talked about earlier, being exactly who he said that he is and being the way that he said that he is and doing what he says he will in fact do. We need to trust God to be the God that he has revealed himself to be. You know, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that seek him." The trust in prayer. Stop and think about it. And again, you may be going through some very difficult circumstance in your life right now. You think of the God that you were before. You think of the promises that he has made. We are before a God who is trustworthy. Put your confidence in him. Bring that situation unto him and entrust it unto him. We need the trust in prayer. But then notice lastly, we need the praise of prayer. Yes, praise as an element of prayer. Most of those lists have praise in some way, either by itself or joined with thanksgiving. But beyond that, as God moves to answer our prayer, we praise him. Think about what we see in verse 8. "So I will praise and sing praise to your name forever, that I may pay my vows day by day." You think about what David is saying. David's saying, "God, as you answer me, I'm going to praise you. And God, I want you to answer me so I can praise you all the more." Think with me. You know, we're so very quick to bring our petitions, our needs into the Lord, and he invites us to. But how quick are we to bring our thanksgiving and our praise? Many times, even for those things that we have prayed about and have seen God work and move. You think about it, if you would somehow come up with some type of a formula, what would the ratio be between your prayer request and your prayers of praise? David made a conscious effort to praise the Lord as he saw him work and as he saw him move. We need to praise God, yes, as an element of our prayer, to be sure, but especially as we see him work and move to answer our prayers. Again, you may be going through a crisis or a problem right now, and no, you might not see the end of it yet. But what have you seen God do today in that situation? I mean, if at the very least you see him sustaining you, I mean, up to this very moment, God has sustained you and he will continue to sustain you. That's his promise. But my point is this. If nothing else, you have experienced God's sustaining power through that problem today. Have you praised him for that? Have you given praise unto God the fact that he has carried you this far through this day in spite of whatever it is that you're going through? We need to praise God. Yes, as we seek to meet with our Lord in prayer, especially in a time of crisis, it needs to be from the heart, directed at him, seeking his closeness, wanting his direction, always wanting to, in fact, give him praise and follow the direction he gives for us. That ought to be the pattern of our prayer, in every situation, but especially in the crisis. And if you find yourself in a crisis or a problem today, follow David's example in Psalm 61. And even before you see the answer per se or the solution, you will experience the nearness and the closeness of God. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You that You are the living God. Thank You that You invite us to come to You about every problem, every need, every worry, every concern. And Father, we pray especially for those today, Lord, who are facing such times. Lift them, carry them, guide them. Father, we pray, O God, that You will heal, strengthen, solve, meet the need, whatever the situation is for them. And Father, we pray that in the midst of it that they experience Your sustaining love and strength and comfort. Be with them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, it's been good to be with you as we meet with our Lord. And these times, again, they are a blessing for me. They help me in my week, and they certainly help me to grow in my walk, my relationship with the Lord. I pray they do for you as well. And I hope as you go through the rest of this day and the rest of this week that you can take these lessons, not just understand them in your head, but that together, you and me, that we'll in fact live out these lessons and experience the nearness, the closeness, and the goodness of God.